And if you would you bow your head, let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the lives of every person that's under the sound of my voice. And I pray that the anointing on the word of God would begin to open up our vision, our understanding. We uproot the garbage, the junk, the mindset that's hindered us in the past. We change the shallow ground of our lives. We cultivate it in a manner so that we can receive truth that truly and literally brings freedom and liberty in our lives. Open our hearts, open our understanding as we come to receive not from man, but from you. And we give you the praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody said,
amen.
You guys sound great today, by the way. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. As you're turning there, we started a new series last week. Five prayers for you. Say five prayers for me. These are things the Lord's placed on my heart to be praying for you. And it's drawing off of the symbolism that we see out of the year 2020, but it's also based on truth that's coming out of Ephesians. The first one last week, as you know, and this is what I call low-hanging fruit. This is a no-brainer, pretty easy, and probably every church in America, probably around the world, when we moved into 2020, did at least one message on this, and that is 2020 vision. My prayer for you is that we would have clarity, that you would have in this year a clearer vision. Not just clearer vision on your destination, but clearer vision on your identity. Not just on your destiny, but on your identity. Who are you in God? Yeah. To have an understanding of who you are in God, you need to have an understanding on who God is in your life.
Right.
That doesn't come just from knowledge, although knowledge is important. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Side note, please, anything I say, don't take it for granted. Challenge it. Don't embrace it. Challenge it. The goal is to get you to challenge it and dig deeper in the word of God. Because it's not my words that makes a difference. It's God's word. Isaiah 55:11 that makes a difference. Psalms 119 is established forever. And so we begin to see that for us to identify who we are, we have to have a revelation of who God is. These are things that just don't come from information and the concepts that we're processing in our mind. But in the processing of that information, we get a heart revelation from heaven. Wait a minute, God just not only has healed, he is a healer. Not just because I know it here, but because I received a revelation from heaven here. That's what Jesus was talking about to Peter when he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they all spoke up something, and one says this, one says that, and then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus didn't celebrate that and stop. He began to say, Peter, that you just said is not only true, but that's something you didn't get from people, you didn't get from ideas.
Right.
See, a lot of us are chasing ideas and not following revelation. We are pursuing ideas of man, and God will use people to give us revelation. God, it could be something someone said, and God stirs it in your heart. But many times we burn our natural energy, and we find ourselves to exhaustion because we do things because we think we're supposed to do it, or we better do it, or this is what everybody is expecting of us. I read an article of a minister who, after 5 years, is stepping down, and his comment was, the demand of ministry was so great, it exhausted him, and he needed a break, and he was stepping down from ministry. That happens more than you realize. Two problems with that. One is he was following the demand of people instead of the leading of God. Good person, probably a great preacher, called of God to do what he was doing, but just because people want something doesn't mean you have to give it to them. And this is not just for pastors, this is for you. Because people will have expectations. People will have expectations. Why didn't you do this? We've all been in some, come on, let's be honest for a few seconds. Let's pull the curtain back. We've all come out of a church world at some time, or most of us have, where the expectation was so high, you didn't even have time for your own family. You had to be at every meeting. You have to be at every prayer meeting. You have to be at every Bible study. You had to be there to clean. You have to be there to worship. You had to be there to teach. You had to do that. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but all of a sudden you're doing things that was expected of you by man and not by God. And you find yourself waking up one day and saying, oh God, if this is ministry, I can't do it. No, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you're doing the flow of ministry, there's a grace to it. There's an anointing to it.
Yes.
When you do stuff that God didn't ask you to, you lose the grace. And it becomes a burden and a weight. That's what Jesus was all over the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He said, listen, you take people that are imprisoned by darkness, and by time you make them a disciple, they're twice off. They're worse than you, the beginning. Why? Because they were imprisoning them to other ideas that was not from heaven. That's why we love freedom. That's why we love freedom. Because some pastors say, well, if you don't monitor and control your people, they'll sin and go to hell. Listen, if I have to control you to keep you right, you're not right in the first place. Right? That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You can lie to me. You can lie to the people around you, but you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. He knows if you're watching something you shouldn't have been watching. He knows if you're mistreating your spouse. He knows if you're doing something wrong. He already knows. You can't lie to the Holy Ghost. Let me get back on track. And so the pressure comes from expectation of people. No, when I begin to understand who God is and begin to understand who I am, it will free you. It will strengthen you. It will empower you. Not only on the destiny, but also in the identity, and also through the transition. I feel that one of the challenges in the church world is if we don't know what God is doing and what God is producing, you'll come across your area of faith where God's getting ready to create an opportunity, a miracle, a provision. And if you don't understand it, you'll trash it. Jesus is right in their midst, that they could not identify, they could not discern what God was doing. And many people missed, walked away, discarded. Well, how many times do we do that in life? Since the Bible talks in examples and metaphors and pictures, you'll be the sower. Faith, when you notice Matthew 13 and Mark 4, when you're sowing the word, it produces faith. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing the word. Well, that faith that's produced by the word is it would be equivalent to the parables of Jesus as a tree or as a bush, right? Because then that plant produces the fruit, which is the end result of what you're praying for. Amen. I'm believing for a healing. I'm believing for a blessing. I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing for favor. I'm believing for the right spouse. Well, if you don't know what you're looking for, when God begins to produce that faith in your life, you'll cut it down because it disrupts what you thought was a good yard. Well, I don't want no plant there. I like my grass being nice and level so I can look past it. And God said, I'm trying to bring to you what you've been praying for. Get the message. It's available. Let's get to Ephesians 1 and we'll talk about the second prayer. Say, don't cut down your reward in the process, in the journey. Oh man, I want to stay there, but we've got to move on. Ephesians 1. Paul is praying to Ephesus church that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. That means that they have understanding, they have revelation, that they may know. That means no experience, have that revelation. What is the hope of their calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? We're going to stay there. The second thing that I noticed when I looked at the year 2020 is not only clear vision, I see double vision. Today I want to talk to you about something that many times if we don't correctly develop. Are you listening, parents? If we don't teach our children how to do this, this is not natural. It is not automatic. And that's learning to double, to see beyond where you're at. Most people, most teachers, most parents, it's just a natural thing. When kids start dreaming, they try to bring it down to a reality. But I'm telling you, God wants us to dream bigger than what we've been dreaming. My goal and prayer is that God anoints you this year to not only see your destiny, your destination, your identity, and the process, but God begins to anoint you that you begin to dream big dreams again. Whatever your vision was, double it in the name of Jesus. Whatever your goal was, double it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're dreaming, double it in the name of Jesus. If you're trying to get out of debt, double it in the name of Jesus. If you're trying to, double it in the name of Jesus. If I only had X amount of dollars at the end of the month more than before, double that in the name of Jesus. If I can only get this done in 6 months, double it. That means cut it in half in time. Double in the name of Jesus. My goal is you begin to dream big dreams. You begin to dream double what you've been dreaming in the past. You say, well, that's not possible. That's not your problem. Your problem is to get a hold of the Word of God. Find out God, what God wants you to do. Begin to look. Don't just look at, hey, God, what I can't do. God, what do you want to do? We start looking at ourselves. What can I do? No, start, God, what do you want to do? Many times, if you're going to do great things in the world, God will begin to show you problems that nobody wants to deal with. Where the king's hiding in the tent and your friends can talk about it, but they don't challenge it. And David showed up at the battlefield just bringing food. He was just there to be an encourager. He was just there to be the helps ministry, if you want. He was there just to kind of help them along to do what God called them to do, but none of them were doing. They didn't have enough energy to fight, but they had enough energy to talk. Don't shout me down, because the church world can be filled with people who are experts on the sideline but refuse to get on the battlefield. That's not you in the name of Jesus. That's not you in the name of Jesus. No, the anointing on the inside of you is going to cause you to double your vision, and you're going to be like David, who said, is there not a cause? Yes. David didn't have to figure out how he's going to do it. David just had to do what God showed him to do and let God take the one rock that was on its way and redirect it in a way that could not be explained and hit the only vulnerable spot on the giant's head. And all of a sudden, David told him, I'm going to cut your head off. That made no sense. When you begin to dream big dreams, you'll say stuff that makes no sense to the natural mind. How do you cut off the head of a giant without a sword? Are you listening? And at that time, because they were under the rule, being dominated by their enemies, they were refused to allow, or they were not allowed to have swords. So the army didn't have swords. The only one that was able to have the sword was the king. And that was in the armor of the king, right? And David just refused that. David just told the king, no, I don't want your armor. Thank you for trying it on me. But you know what? I haven't proven this. I can't take this. And somewhere he might have thought, ooh, I should have brought the sword. But he told the giant, this day, God's going to put you in my hands, and I will cut your head off. Yeah. What does it mean, cut your head off? I wonder if he even thought to himself, oh, God, I'm out here so deep. If you don't show up, They're gonna laugh at me, and then they're gonna kill me, and none of that's good, God. Even my own brothers were ridiculing me when I asked about this. Oh, God, I'm out here deep. Have you ever done something that you knew that, God, I'm out here so deep, if you don't show up, I'm in trouble? That's not always a bad place to be in. That's not always a bad place. God, if you don't fix this, God, I don't know how I got myself here. Lord, I didn't know you're going to call me here. But if you don't do something, God, I can't swim this. I can't walk on water. I can't shut the mouth of the lion. I can't stop the fire from burning me up. Oh, God, if you don't do something. We need people that have a passion that will get on the front lines and say, oh, God, if you don't do anything, I won't make it. Don't play safe. Don't play it safe. Don't play it safe. I'm not saying be foolish. Right. Most people, they don't know who they are. They don't know who God is, and they give themselves in crazy stuff. Right. No, don't play it safe. You obey God. And dream big. Say dream big. Dream big. Shout dream big. Dream big. We have a young man in the church. I'll not mention his name because I didn't ask if I could do this, but we have a young man in church that many years ago. He's just turned 14, but when he's about 8 or 9 years old, he just had a desire. He wanted to start reading. He struggled with making friends, but he loved to read, and they started, him and his mom, who's a single parent, and they began to do a book club, and they just named it Books and Bros. And they just started doing it, and it got a little traction, got a little tension. All of a sudden, they started getting more attention. Got interviewed on TV. Oprah endorsed it. Just a couple weeks ago, we're here telling me and showed me. He just got picked up by Marvel. Marvel did a comic on him. He signed it, gave it to me. Isn't that cool? And if you go on Disney Plus, I'm not an endorser of the app or the service. I'm not one way or the other. I'm just telling you. But if you have Disney Plus, you can go to Marvel Heroes, and it's about stories of kids. You'll find one about him. How a little 8-year-old had an idea. And God's blessed it. It's amazing what God can do through people who are open to let God be God in their life. Say double vision. Notice that verse again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Let me back up. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Say inheritance. I'm telling you what God has in store for you. Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 7, 8, 16 says, God wants you to produce much fruit, and these are things that are preordained. God has stuff for you to do. You are not here by accident. You are not here because of somebody else's mistake or decision. You are here by the destiny of God to do something, to make a difference. Not to make a mess, but to make a difference. Not to make a mess, but to make a difference. And maybe your whole past has been making a mess, but I'm telling you, God's anointed you to make a difference in the name of Jesus. You know, there's a scripture that says, with long life, I will satisfy you. Hear me now. With long life, I will satisfy you. With long life, I will satisfy you. And I began to dwell on that this past week. The Lord dropped in my heart. You know, when you're hungry, and you begin to eat, typically you stop eating when you're satisfied or when you're full. Have you ever left the dinner table, restaurant? I know you haven't. I have. And though my stomach said I was, we'll say comfortably full, something still on the inside says I still wasn't satisfied. And I begin to look. I need something sweet. Come on, somebody. The meal was good, but I'm still not. And because I'm not satisfied, I keep looking until I get satisfied. And when I get satisfied and find that dessert, whatever it might be, then I'm like, oh, I'm satisfied. And then I can rest from the process of pursuing what I'm hungry for. And when I rest, then I'm no longer pursuing it, I'm satisfied. When you stop pursuing stuff in life, you become satisfied.
Come on.
God said, with long life, I will satisfy you. Yeah. When you stop looking to something greater, you are then saying to God, I am satisfied.
All right.
And his promise has been fulfilled. You want to live a long life? You begin to say, God, there are still more for me to do. There's still more for you to show me. There's still something out there. I'm full from all that I have done, but there's still something. I am not yet satisfied. I refuse to go into a stage of rest, a perpetual rest, because I am not satisfied. Okay, we'll move right along. And with the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, if you're looking at the notes that are on the app, inheritance never begins with the receiver. If it was beginning with the receiver, for some of us, we would begin to have different perspectives. Most people would say, oh, that's enough, God. That's enough. Malachi 3 tells us, and I know some people have issues with Malachi 3. Well, God bless you. Just talk to the author. Malachi 3 talks about bringing the tithe and the offering of the storehouse. And part of it says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it.
Yeah.
One translation says that I will begin to pour out a blessing until you say that is enough.
Right.
One of the things that we have to come to the reality is if it's not working in our lives, it's not God's fault, it's not the word's fault. There's something we need to continue to grow in and say, God, show me what I'm missing because I know your word is true. His word is forever settled in heaven, Psalms 119. He watches over his word to perform it. It is elevated above his name. Isaiah 55:11 says, it will not return void. And if it's not returning correctly, then maybe you're not standing in the right part of the journey. You can get mad at God, get mad at people, or you can say, God, and being meek means I'm open for improvement. Lord, is there something in my life that I need to do differently? Because if you tell me, David said, God, I put my life before you as an open book. Search me out, because David knew if God made it a correction, it wasn't to punish, it wasn't to hurt, it was to allow to flow what was rightfully belonged to him by the inheritance of heaven.
Amen.
By the inheritance of heaven. You put a rubber band on your arm, you stop the flow, your hands start swelling, and the colors change. You don't have to pray for more blood. You need to pray, Lord, help, show me to remove the rubber band, the restrictor on what is rightfully mine. And I'm telling you, when you have an inheritance, it belongs to you, even though you might not be aware of it. The thief has come, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will try to steal, even if he can keep you from understanding you had it in the first place. It's your inheritance. It's your right. And so we should quit praying for more. We should pray, God, what is the restrictor on what belongs to me in the first place? What is the restrictor? Because he is your Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. He is God and God all alone, and beside him there is none other. And you don't have to go to God and three more people. You can go to God and he will show you what to do. He is the healer. He is the protector. He is the provider.
Yeah.
Oh God, what is in my life that's restricting you from my life? Because the inheritance doesn't begin with the receiver, it begins with the provider of it. And God said, listen, I am your shepherd, you shall not want. Walk before me. People that are against the prosperity. I was watching a movie just the other day. Can I just go in a soapbox for 2 minutes? Take it at you. I was watching a movie and just flip around on TV, and there's a movie. We started watching it, my wife and I, my daughter Logan, and we're just watching TV, and it had this storyline, and in the storyline there's a priest, and God bless the priest, I guess. And there was from Mexico, and he began to counsel this guy, and he said, you know, God doesn't want you to be successful. He just wants you to be faithful. That almost sounded religiously cool. I thought, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says.
That's right.
Now, there is a point, you have to understand perspective and position. There is a perspective like in healing. God didn't want Martha and Mary to raise Lazarus. All he wanted them to do is be faithful to obey to remove the stone, and he would do what only he could do.
Right.
But you can't take out of context or misread or not understand the parable when the master came and gave to the servants one talent, two talent, and five talents, and then came back and said, what'd you do with it? Because the guy that I read that got the bad day was the one who was faithful to keep what he was given.
Right.
And the master said, you could at least give it to the bankers, because a talent is not a gift to sing or play. A talent was a currency. And he said, you at least give it to the bankers, and I would have got interest on what I have given you. But he said, I know you're a hard man, and I know you want to reap where you have not sown, and therefore I took what you've given me and I hid it in the ground so that I wouldn't lose it. That means he was afraid of risk. If you're gonna dream big, you can't be afraid of risk.
Amen. Amen.
If you're gonna dream big, you can't be afraid of risk.
Right.
And the master said, no, you should have done something with it so I would have had increase. God wants you to have increase. God expects you to have increase. It's that increase that gives glory to God. John chapter 15, verse 7, 8, and 16. And this is what gives glory to your Father, that you produce much fruit.
Right.
And yet in the church world, we celebrate. We celebrate for some reason, and I understand the perspective of it, don't get me wrong. We celebrate for some reason the idea of not blowing things up. Oh, I lived 40 years in the ministry and didn't commit adultery. Well, that's the standard we've got. I've served Jesus for 60 years and didn't kill one person. That's the standard we've gotten. We have lowered it so low that we think that it's a success not to be destructive. But God wants us to increase. God wants us to take on challenges that he shows you. God wants us to do and make a difference. Not make a mess, make a difference. Say, not make a mess, make a difference. And Jesus told the servant, the unwise servant, well, it should be good enough. I went to church. That's your standard. You went to church. I'm glad you've come to church, but your life has so much value.
That's right.
It can make a difference.
Amen.
And Jesus said in his parable that the master responded, I'll judge you accordingly to your understanding. You knew that I was one who reaped where I have not sown. And he said, take from him the one that he's kept and give it to the guy that took five and made it into 10. I don't know about you, but that is against every socialistic idea in society. But to him who has, will more be given. To him that doesn't have, it will be taken what he has. God wants you to increase. There's stuff that only God can do, but there's stuff he wants you to do. James says faith without works is dead. Do I have your attention today? My prayer for you is that the anointing of God would come on your life, that you begin to dream big dreams, and with the mountain that stood before you as an impossibility, it will become nothing more but a platform for you to stand. Amen. For even Martin Luther King was able to stand and see something that nobody else was seeing, and he was willing to declare it and work for it, and it didn't happen in his lifetime. Are you listening to me? Some of the biggest dreams that will be accomplished will be stuff that happens past your life. Hebrews 11, filled with men and women of faith. And it said, these all men and women walked by faith, operated by faith, and many did not see the result of their faith. But they saw something afar off. They had a vision of something greater that could not be completed within their lifespan. But they were willing to stand up. They were willing to fight for. They were willing to challenge. And when you're willing to stand on the mountain, you can see stuff and begin to declare stuff that nobody else can see. Dream big. Say dream big. Watch how God operates. If this is stuff that will be done beyond your life or stuff that's done within your life, God can do something greater than your life if you're willing to allow him and you begin to dream. Amen. Amen. Double vision. Yes. Dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before. Amen. Gospel of John chapter 4. I've never preached this. Listen to this verse and you probably have never focused on it. Jesus said to the disciples, I sent you to reap where you have bestowed no labor. All right. Remember the master of the servants. They knew there was an understanding that he expected increase and wanted to reap where he did not labor. I sent you to reap where you've bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entering into their labors. This is also a concept that's done out of Joshua chapter 24, verse 13. So it's not one verse by itself. Peter says, let a thing by two or three witnesses be established. What is he saying? There is a process of sowing and reaping. I'm not here to emphasize that. But God said there is another process of reaping without sowing.
Yes. Amen.
Let me say that again. There is a process of sowing and reaping. But there's another level above that where you begin to reap where you have not sown.
Amen.
Because when we start putting pencil to paper, God, I don't know how that's going to work. Because if I started today and got this many years left, I expect, and you want me to do that, you don't understand how God works. He can bring into your life where you haven't even started the process.
Amen.
Where somebody else began the process with another motivation. What do you think this building is for us? We didn't build this building. It was built for us. We walked in and reaped where we didn't start the process. And they told us we couldn't. And they told us that they wouldn't. And God still worked it out. And God still worked it out. You don't think we fought some giants to get in this space? You don't think that they didn't, you think they applauded us? Are you kidding? I remember, and I'll not forget the day that I sat there at my desk across from the bank that we had a note from on the other building and said, we're looking to do this. This is what we're doing. And then him look steadily at me and say, well, if you feel God wants you to do that, but just know that we don't think it's a good idea. And if you pursue this, we'll call and we'll ask you how you want to pay off the note. We just won't be the bank for you. Forget encouragement. That man just done threatened me. We were at the beginning phases, and we had already signed, after a year of negotiating, signed the deal. Help me, Jesus. Because either way, if this don't work out, it seems like that boat's about to sink. And we got to, do you remember the first article when we all of a sudden they said, oh, the Mills Mall has been least and there's a second hope, a church is coming in, and everybody's like, wow, that's cool, that's my church. And I'm thinking, because I learned from past experiences, you don't have to tell everything you know to everybody you know, because not everybody's going to be on your team. And I remember the day I was walking down the stairs at the other location, and I get a text, and it says, Greg, glad to, just read the report, happy for you. Give me a call, let me know how you want to take care of the note. We didn't owe a lot of money over there, almost $600,000. But I was looking for somebody to send me a check for $600,000. Oh, God! I'm out here so deep. And then I get another phone call. Oh, I'd like to meet with you. I'm interested in buying the building that you're signed a lease to. And we're glad you're here. And oh, by the way, isn't there another place you would like to be? Now I'm getting it from both sides. Place I'm leaving is trying to take me out. Place I'm going is trying to take me out. Oh, God. But I'm telling you, when you try to dream big, there'll be a lot of people that will try to talk you down and threaten you and take you out. But God, you go from oh, God, to but God. Only God can see you through. And you'll begin to reap where you haven't sown. Thank you, Jesus. And to the devil, na 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 na. Three key things. I'm going to finish with three key things. I'll make it quick. Three key things for us to reap where we haven't sown. Can you imagine stepping into a harvest, stepping into a response, stepping into a miracle? You didn't start it. God had somebody else start it, and you step into it. You're believing to be a business owner, and all of a sudden someone says, here's an opportunity, and you step into someone else's work that they couldn't do, but God's given you grace to make it fly. Oh, my God. Okay. Notice a few things. First of all, John chapter 4, verse 38 still, Jesus said, I sent. Say, I sent. If you want to step into what God has for you, if you want to step into the harvest but without sowing, then you have to learn to obey what God shows you to do. Amen. Jesus said, I sent, but many people went without hearing, I sent. They did what they wanted to do. They did what they thought they should do. And you can't, if you're looking for the direction of God, it works by principles. Don't look for voices. If you can't obey the written word of God, you'll never obey the spoken word of God into your spirit. You have to walk this thing out. Don't look for harvest you haven't planted if you're not in the process of planting right now. Are you listening to me? Offerings behind us. That's the way I like to teach this way. So no one walks away thinking and allows the devil to manipulate and say, look, they just tricked you out of your money. No, no. I want you to process it, challenge it, and begin to see. But if you're not obeying God in sowing and reaping, how do you expect to receive from God in reaping without sowing? No, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. One day I'm going to have $1 million to give to the kingdom of God. You can't give 10 right now off your 100. If you can't give 10 off your 100, you're not going to give your million off your... And I'm not playing games. I'm messing with it. I'm not manipulating you, because there is no offering coming. This is between you and Jesus. But I'll tell you, we have people in the house that today tithe off what they used to make as a salary. Right. Not one, many. Because the process works. Some of us sow, and that's been on my heart, to get in the emphasis, begin to teach people how to see the harvest coming. Because we've been taught, let's be real, many of us have been manipulated and abused when it comes to money in the church world. And many of us are giving in the kingdom of God, but we haven't learned or been taught how to receive in the kingdom of God. So we're just sending, we're just planting seeds, and we're never told to come back and look at that harvest and now reap it. Supernatural hearing. Say supernatural hearing. Faith in a little, faith in much. Supernatural obedience. Obedience opens that door. Obedience is just not doing stuff, like we said earlier. It's obeying God. Mary and Martha could have moved every stone at every tomb, but it was the one that Jesus instructed them to do. Peter could have walked on, stepped out of every boat, but it was when Jesus said to step out, it made a difference. And Peter could have dropped every line and never caught a fish with a coin in his mouth until he was following the instructions of Jesus. Let it be the anointing on your life where you begin to see that you are following the instructions of Jesus. I like to say it this way in my own life. I am putting into action the plans of God. I haven't come to do my will. I've come to put into action the plans of God. What God shows me to do, I do it. If he doesn't show me to do it, I don't do it. I don't care if everybody, every mother, every father, every church, every pastor, they can all do what they want to do. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. I'm not their Jesus. I'm not the one guarding or watching over. I'm supposed to watch over my heart, guard my heart, and follow and obey what God shows me, just as he shows you. If he shows you, obey. I think we're the only church that puts that much emphasis on it, to the point that we even tell you, if you don't have a revelation on giving, then don't give. We're not going to put your name on it, and we're not calling you one way or the other. If you don't want to be a tither, don't be a tither. That's between you and Jesus. Boy, it gets quiet. Because I want you, not because it doesn't work, not that because I don't want you to have the reward. It's because I want you to respond to the instructions from the Word of God. Faithful in the little, be faithful in the much. Supernatural hearing, supernatural obedience, supernatural results. Supernatural results. Supernatural results. Today we are entering in the results of the hard work of great men and women of God. Supernatural results. But I'll even go a little farther, because the Bible tells me that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Isaiah tells me that God will show you and give you hidden riches. Listen to me. I remember the Sunday I walked off this platform. I was done preaching. I was done ministering. I was just walking to the back to get something to drink. And as I did, I walked past one of our ushers. And when I did, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, hidden riches, tell him. And I walked by him and said, this sounds kind of strange, but the Lord placed in my heart, he's going to give you hidden riches. And their life has just exploded since. And later on that week, I thought, man, that was a really cool word. You know, and I know by principle of faith that I can begin to believe to receive what.
Come on.
And I thought, well, God, I'm going to believe for hidden riches.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder if that's even in the Bible. Because if it's not in the Bible, I don't want it.
Right.
I don't care what you felt or saw or thought or seen. It's got to be lined up with the Word of God. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Can I get a better amen?
Yes.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to check. So, it's easy nowadays. Back in the day, you had to get a big old concordance and flip through. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Nowadays, you just pull out your phone, go on Google, type the word Bible, type the word whatever, and it's just... And sure enough, Isaiah, I'm not going to give you the chapter. You look it up.
Right.
I'm not here. I do things different. I'm not a mother bird, and you're not a baby bird. I don't spoon feed you everything. I give you enough to either aggravate you, irritate you, or make you interested, and you pursue it. I know it's different, but it's my way. I'm just following Jesus. And I said, there's a verse, and it's God is talking and says, I will give you secret treasures of darkness and hidden riches, that you may know that it was me that called you by name.
Amen.
Ooh, now I got a verse. What am I telling? Now I got a verse. Now I got a verse. So, wait a minute. I can begin to reap what the people have stored up for evil reasons. God can show us how to access.
Yes.
Talk about speeding the process up. Why is God going to do that? I'm trying to close. Why is that God going to do that? What you have to realize and understand that God's word is on the line. He's elevated his word above his name. And his word says, be not deceived. What a man sows, that shall he. Ooh, let me talk a little futuristic prophetic, okay? So there in prophecy, there is going to be a time called the rapture. There's going to be a time when God wraps all this up.
Right.
And so in the timeline that we understand, a timeline, there's going to be a mark where it's all going to be wrapped up. And when that mark happens, right, when it's all wrapped up, there won't be the benefit of reaping what you've sown. And God knows his words are aligned, which tells me that as we get closer to it, the reaping has to happen faster. Because if you, 2 days before it's all going to wrap up, you don't know it's going to wrap up. All you know is you're walking this thing and obeying God. If God told you to sow something, God told you to give an offering, whatever it might be, then if you did it by faith and obedience, then there's a harvest to your obedience. And because there's a harvest to your obedience, what normally would take 2 years to come to you, God has to do in 2 days, because God, be not mocked, God will not be mocked. God's not going to be mocked. God, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. If he said it and he showed it, then he has to perform it. And so every seed of obedience that's been sown by everyone behind us in the timeline that has not been reaped as a harvest into their lives of this humanity, of this timeline, for the benefit of the receiver and those around them, it has to come to fruition. It has to be materialized. It tells me that as we get closer, the lighter, it might get darker in the world, but I choose to look at the truth of the word, that it will get lighter from the word of God. An increase is coming to your life. Dream big. Because God wants to do big things through your life. Woo, my God. Don't let money be a deterrent one way or the other, your obedience. God could work that thing out. Woo. Hallelujah. I get excited because I got parents who are pastors for 4 years. Hallelujah. I got a great-grandfather that was a Pentecostal revivalist that traveled back in the days where you had to cut your own chairs out of trees and logs and have a tent crusade. Hallelujah. I got people in my time. Those who are evil, they're gone. We've cut that out. But we got people in our timeline that are of God, that they have done good, and there's harvest coming, coming. Woo. So as I'm obeying God with my sowing and reaping, that qualifies me to begin to reap where I have not sown. Yes, yes. When I'm faithful to God and obeying him to sow where he tells me to sow and reaping, I can begin to reap where I have not sown. Hallelujah. I pray, my prayer for you is that the anointing of heaven would rest upon your life, that you begin to dream double vision. Big vision, and begin to know that the supplier of your vision is not and does not have to come out of your checkbook. God can provide. God is your sufficiency. God can do what nobody else can do. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise. We're done. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. I'm reaping where I have not sown. Before we dismiss, if you bow your head and close your eyes, no one moving around, I'd like to give this opportunity. We never want to miss an opportunity because it all comes down to this one thing, a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. It's not joining a church or denomination. It's this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? And the way you process, the way you experience, the way you relate, do you know that Jesus is real and that he's your Lord and Savior? I'm not into religion. I get tired of religion about people being manipulated, controlled, and everybody got jumped through hoops to try to be better. I want the real thing that comes from a real Jesus. Salvation is a great miracle. And so we're going to pray a prayer in a few seconds. And if check your heart. If your heart's not right with God, either one, you never heard the gospel before, or two, for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice, open up, I'll come in. You say, how can a small prayer make a big difference? Tell it to Romans 10. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you've lost. Money's not the priority. Success is not the priority. Power and fame's not the priority. They're tools. They could be evil or good based on whose hands they're in. The priority is your relationship with Jesus, number one. So if you don't know him and you would like to receive him, let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me of all my sins, cleanse me, make me fresh, make me new. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you to come in, to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, amen. If you prayed that prayer, let me encourage you. First of all, welcome to the family of God. Secondly, just so I know who I'm praying with, at the count of three, I want you to simply lift your hand and look me in the eyes. One, two, three. Pastor, that was for me. I see the hand. I see the second hand. I see the third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand, sixth, seventh, eighth. God bless you. Ninth hand. God bless you. Tenth hand. God bless you. 11th. God bless you, sir. Anybody in the center? 12, 13. Amen. Here's what I want to do. I want to do one more thing. The Bible says you're saved. So at this point, it's not you have to do something else to be saved. But if you are willing, I want to pray over your life. Here's my prayer, that there be an anointing of strength come on the inside of you. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but what I want to do at the count of three is I want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer and you mean business with God, I want you to stand to your feet. You're going to stay there, but I want you to stand to your feet. Because at first it's kind of awkward for some of us, others it might not be, but I want you to know, if we can't stand for Jesus here, how do we stand for Jesus out there in the world? In here, we're going to celebrate it. Out there, they're going to try to talk you out of it. I believe that the key difference is the presence of God, the strength of God on your life. And so at the count of three, if you mean business, say, Pastor, I'm going to stand to my feet. People are already standing. Yeah, I'm going to stand to my feet as a sign that I just got saved. My heart's right with God, and I'm going to stand for him. One, two, three, stand to your feet right now. Come on, church, celebrate them. Celebrate what God's doing in their life. Anybody else, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? We have a few more seconds. Anybody else? Say, God is good. Just lift your hand toward heaven. Church, you can lift your hands toward them. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person who's standing for you right now, your word says that you'll announce their name to the Father. Father, right now, I ask that you would also give them a sign, a confirmation. Let them be anointed with strength right now at the inside of their inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that wherever they go, they will be strong to stand, strong to choose correctly, strong against pressure and opposition, strong to live correctly. We thank you, Father God, for that. We call that so. Bless them now. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give him a hand clap one more time. Amen. Isn't that awesome?